ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमपि ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः So we also conclude the fourth chapter. So here is Dvaita Viveka Prakaranam. Dvaita Viveka Prakaranam is the topic of this fourth chapter of Panchadashi. And there mainly Dvaitam, the duality, is experienced by all the waking state. Duality is not experienced always. The duality is experienced only in the waking state. So the duality is unmanifest, temporarily resolved in deep sleep state. And there is duality still experienced in even dream state, which is subjectively real, always called Pratibhasikam Satyam. The duality experienced in the waking state is not unreal, it is a Vyavaharikam Satyam, which is empirically real. So duality is not negated as totally unreal. Duality experienced in waking state is empirically real. Duality experienced in dream state is subjectively real, but absolutely what is real is not the duality, but non-duality. Non-duality of the reality or non-dual reality alone is absolutely real, which is Advaitam, Advaita Darshanam. But this Dvaitam, we cannot undo duality. We need not undo duality. We cannot undo duality. We need not undo duality. Without undoing, without doing anything, understanding the fact that duality experienced in waking state is not real. It is empirically real. Therefore, it is mithya. It is not absolutely real. Understanding this fact itself is freedom, in fact. Before Shastram here in this chapter, we discussed Ishvara Srishtam Dvaitam, the duality which is creation of Ishvara. Again, the Jiva Srishtam Dvaitam, the duality which is one's own creation, one's own projection. That is purely because of ignorance, and ignorance born, ignorance caused, erroneous perception, and erroneous perception based erroneous notions, and the erroneous notions caused the sense of limitations, and thereby all other raga dveshas, likes and dislikes, anger, hatred, fear, anxiety, jealousy. So all of these emotions, and which are actually involuntarily rising thoughts. So this Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. And there again, Thivram Dvaitam and Ativram Dvaitam. Or Mandam Dvaitam. Whether it is very deep, very powerful or not powerful, anyway, Dvaitam, which is projection, one's own projection, is a bondage. It has to be resolved, and for which here the teaching given is, one has to really commit oneself to live a life of values, to manage his emotions, and thereby finally one can prepare oneself for jnanam. And then being given to the discipline of contemplation upon the nature of the reality, obtaining as one's own self, as unfolded in the Shastram, and one can, which otherwise called Samadhi Abhyasaha, contemplation is here given known as Samadhi Abhyasa. Samadhi Abhyasaha means just Nidhyasana, another word used by Vidyaranya Swami. So this Nidhyasana, contemplation upon one's own real nature, as unfolded, revealed by the Shastram, gradually will help one resolve this Dvaitam, Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. How can I resolve this Dvaitam? So we need not undo Dvaitam. But Dvaitam has to be cognitively resolved. And for which, what we need is only Dhida Jnanam, firm knowledge. It has been being said, let us see the today's verse.
Jite tasmin vritti shunyam manas tishthati mokavat yetat padam vasishthena ramaya bahudheritam. This, having once this tivram dvaitam, jivasrishtam dvaitam, or a tivram the jivasrishtam dvaitam, one's own meant projection of the duality, one's own projection of the duality projected by one's own mind, and involving involuntary thoughts, all emotions, disturbing emotions, can be resolved effortlessly only by contemplation. So contemplation upon one's own real nature is possible only if a person has clear, doubt-free understanding of one's real nature, and for which one must have done definitely Shravanam and Mananam. That's very clear. And even Rama even Vasishtha, as the Kula Guru of Rama, he mentioned this repeatedly in many times in Ramayanam. That is Vidyaranya Swami just brings to our notice. So we are today, I'm going to read the fresh verse, 64th verse.
Drishyam nastiti bodhena manaso drishyamarjanam. Drishyam nastiti bodhena manaso drishyamarjanam. Sampannas chedutpanna.
Okay.
Drishyam nastiti bodhena manaso drishyamarjanam. Sampannam chedutpanna tadutpanna para nirvana nirvritihi.
Repeating the mantra verse again, 64th verse of 4th chapter.
Drishyam nastiti bodhena manaso drishyamarjanam. Sampannam chetadutpanna para nirvana nirvritihi.
So in this verse, Vidyaranya Swami presents the result of contemplation. Why should we contemplate upon? If we contemplate upon our own real nature, which has been understood through Shravanam and Mananam, then what happens, especially Shravanam is a repeated Shravanam itself will become Mananam in due course of time will become Nidhyasanam also. So what happens if there is constant, if we make efforts to dwell upon one's, our real nature, what we are essentially, what happens? Such contemplation gradually gives rise to the understanding of the fact clearly that there is no Jagat. Absolutely, there is no Jagat. Of course, we don't say there's no Jagat at all. There is Jagat. The Jagat is really seemingly there. Absolutely, it is not there. Jagat is not that, means Jagat is not totally, it's not non-existent. It's not unreal, but it is seemingly there. It's not really there. This fact becomes very clear, as what is said in the 64th verse. Drishyam nasti. Drishyam nasti means, drishyam means seen, that which can be seen, that which is being seen is drishyam. So what that which is being perceived is what is objective universe. Drishyam nasti means there is no such a thing called known, the object of knowledge in the form of the objective universe. Drishyam nasti. There is no Jagat absolutely, which is absolutely real. There is no absolutely real Jagat. Drishyam nasti iti bodhena. Iti bodhena. Bodha means what? The jnanena. By seeing the fact that there is no Jagat absolutely real universe. There is no absolutely real universe. There is no absolutely real Drishyam. Iti. There is understanding. Because understanding, bodhena, manasaha drishyamarjanam. Drishyamarjanam. Marjanam means wiping. Wiping of the drishyam. Cognitively wiping the drishyam. Cognitively removing the world from the mind. Okay, cognitively removing the mind. Drishya marjanam manasaha sampannam chet. If we can repeatedly seeing, by understanding the fact there is no, the word object universe is not absolutely real, it is only seemingly real. Through that knowledge, when the world is Madrishya Marjanam, when Sampannam Chet, when the removal of the world from the mind happens. Removal of the world from the mind means understanding the world as Mithya. Understanding the world as Mithya is what? Removing the world from the mind. When that happens, Utpanna Sampannam Chet, Tadutpanna, then there happens what? What happens if the, by understanding this fact, the world is not absolutely real, it's only mithya, and when meant from the mind, the world is removed as mithya, no more your importance as satyam, then what happens? Tadutpanna, para nirvana nirvrutihi utpanna. Para nirvana nirvrutihi utpanna. See, nirvrutihi means anandaha. Nirvana nirvrutihi means moksha anandaha. Nirvana nirvrutihi means anandaha.
Nirvanam here means mokshaha. Nirvana nirvrutihi means mokshaha, which itself is what? Freedom, which is nothing but happiness. Anandaha, which is what? The exalted utkrishta. Para means utkrishta, the exalted mokshaha, which itself is happiness. That happens. Utpanna, that happens. This exalted freedom, mokshaha, in terms of discovery of the nirvrutihi, the happiness, the discovery of freedom is what actually discovery of happiness that happens, utpanna. When does it happen? When we are able to remove the world from the mind as mithya. It means there's a clear understanding the world is mithya. World is no more satyam. For us to negate the world, cognitively resolve the world as mithya, for which there must be ascertained vision of what satyam is. Therefore, repeatedly dwelling upon one's own real nature, the contemplation, then what is absolutely real becomes clear. Then in the light of what is absolutely real, it is easy for us to see the fact of the objective universe being not absolutely real, but empirically real is mithya. So it is not easy to negate the world as mithya unless we have clear vision of what is absolutely real. So Shravanam gives us the understanding of what is real. Then Mananam helps us to be convinced of the fact that what is absolutely real. Then Nididhyasanam really helps us assimilate the fact of Atma, what is absolutely real. So once what is absolutely real becomes assimilated, then the world being mithya becomes very clear. And through that knowledge of the world being mithya, there's no world really. There's only Brahma. That jnanam, manasaha drishya marjanam. When cognitively from the mind, the world is negated as mithya. So negation of world as mithya from the mind is what drishya marjanam, manasaha drishya marjanam sampannam. Then, suppose that happens, he says, what happens then is para nirvana nirvrutihi. Para, exalted, nirvana, moksha, nirvrutihi, anandaha. There happens most exalted moksha anandaha, freedom, which itself is fullness. Why it is exalted? Because this moksha anandaha, this freedom which is discovered, or the full happiness is arrived at, does not come and go, it is permanent. So it is exalted. Okay, we'll go to the next verse. Actually, the commentator says here, yatha grihat sarvasya uchishtasya sammarjanya apakaranam. See, when uchishta means all the unwanted dirty things which are to be thrown away are there in the house, grihat, what do? We use the broomstick. Sammarjanya apakaranam. We use the broomstick and then we remove them. We remove all the dust and things. The unwanted dust and things, how it is removed using the broomstick. The same way, okay, manasaha drishya marjanam, drishya apakaranam, drishyasya apakaranam sampannam chet. The mind itself means what? From the mind itself, the
drishyam, the objective universe, is negated cognitively as mithya, then what happens is the manifestation of the moksha, which is already there, the exalted moksha, the freedom, nirvana, which itself is happiness. Nirvana nirvrutihi, para nirvana nirvrutihi utpanna, means exalted moksha anandaha, there becomes manifest.
Vicharitamalam shastram, vicharitamalam shastram, chiramudgrahitam mithaha, chiramudgrahitam mithaha, santyakta vasanan maunad, ritenasyuttamam param, santyakta vasanan maunad, ritenasyuttamam param, vicharitamalam shastram, chiramudgrahitam mithaha, santyakta vasanan maunad, ritenasyuttamam param.
So here, vicharitam alam, vicharitam alam shastram, chiram udgrahitam mithaha, santyakta vasanan maunat rite nasti uttamam param. So here, vicharitam alam shastram, chiram udvahitam mithaha, santyakta vasanan maunat rite nasti uttamam padam. Shastram alam vicharitam, alam vicharitam, alam means enough, sufficiently. Alam means sufficient, enough. Alam also means sufficiently. Shastram vicharitam. Shastram vicharitam means what? No. Shastra has been thoroughly enquired into. Shastram vicharitam means enquiry into the subject matter of the Shastram, Upanishad section actually, has been done sufficiently. Sufficiently, the inquiry into subject matter of the Shastram has been done, must be done, when before the discovery of Jivan Mukti, before discovery of freedom, before one enjoys this Jivan Mukti in this life, one must have definitely done thorough enquiry into subject matter of the Shastram. So alam does mean enough here, sufficiently. Which means enquiry into the subject matter of the Shastram, sufficiently, thoroughly involving oneself in the enquiry into the subject, enquiring into subject matter of the Shastram is the very basic step, which is the analysis, swarupa vicharaha. That is very important, which alone will result in the attainment of jnanam. So, shastram alam vicharitam, sufficiently enquiry into subject matter of the Shastram has been done. before the attainment of the jnanam. Chiram udvahitam mit udgrahitam mitaha. Chiram udgrahitam mitaha. Udgrahitam. Again, even after having inquired into subject matter of the Shastram sufficiently for length of time, again for long, for length of time, udgrahitam, udgrahitam. One becomes clear in understanding through mananam. Then, santyakta vasanan maunad hrite nasti uttamam padam. Only then, one can contemplate upon this clear understanding of the teaching. One can dwell upon repeatedly, continuously, for length of time, what has been clearly understood. That results in the ascertained knowledge. And he said here, santyakta vasanan. And repeat, when contemplation is done, repeatedly dwelt upon what has been clearly understood through Shravanam and Mananam, he says, and all the involuntary thoughts resolve. Santyakta vasanan. Santyakta vasanan. Santyakta vasanaha. It means all the vasanas, mean all the emotions which are triggered from, which become triggered from subconscious, or vasanaha. Vasanaha here are all the emotions which are triggered from the subconscious, they all become resolved. Santyakta vasanaha means all the vasanas become resolved. What are the vasanas here? All the emotions which are triggered from the subconscious become resolved for good, that they cannot be triggered anymore. And when all the vasanas means all the emotions which are triggered from some subconscious are here said to be vasanas, and when all of them are resolved, then what happens? There maunat hrite nasti uttamam padam. There happens the actual maunam. Maunam means quietude of the mind, silencing of the mind. That is when the mind becomes, that is when there is silence of the mind. Mind is silent, becomes quiet. Until then, mind is very, very noisy mind. That's why orally not speaking is not the actual maunam. Orally not speaking is relative maunam. Actually, absolutely maunam means the mind itself should become quiet. Disturbance-free mind. And that when mind being quiet, the quietitude of the mind, the quiet mind, calm mind, disturbance-free mind is the mind where all the vasanas, vasanas means all the emotions triggered from the subconscious become resolved for good, that they cannot be triggered anymore. Then mind becomes quiet. And how do the vasanas resolve? Santyakta vasanat. Santyakta vasanat means due to the resolution of the santyakta means resolved. Okay, santyakta vasanat, due to the resolution of all the vasanas, all the emotions triggered from the subconscious, then the mind becomes maunat. Then mind becomes absolutely quiet, a disturbance-free mind. Vrite maunat vrite nasti uttamam padam. And there is, it is said here, this quietitude of the mind is the real accomplishment, real fulfillment. So, rite uttamam padam nasti, maunat rite uttamam padam nasti. There is no uttamam padam, there is no greater position, greater status or greater state or greater accomplishment. There is no greater accomplishment other than having the quietened or quiet, disturbance-free, peaceful mind. There's no greater accomplishment than, there's no greater fulfillment than having the absolutely peaceful, quiet, calm mind. Rute, in fact, rute means in fact. Maunat uttamam padam nasti. There is no greater status or greater state, greater accomplishment, greater achievement than having the absolutely peaceful, non-triggerably peaceful, quiet, calm mind. Okay, that is the greatest achievement, which is actually Jivan Muktihi itself. So, maunat rite uttamam padam nasti. And how do we get that maunam? The mental silence. It's not oral silence. We talk about maunam. Not simply talking is not maunam. According to Shastram, maunam means mind should become absolutely quiet mind, disturbance-free mind, distraction-free mind, non-disturbable mind. What is that mind which cannot be disturbed by any situation, external situation? Such a mind, that non-disturbable mind, is the mind wherein all the emotions known by the term vasanas, which are triggered from subconscious, are resolved for good. They do not rise anymore. No thoughts rise means mind is quiet. Mind is silence. Mind is silent means what? Then there is silence. So, santyakta vasanat maunam and maunadrite uttamam padam nasti. And what should we do for that? For that, contemplation is important. And for contemplation, what should have happened before contemplation? You know, one must have done mananam. Repeatedly dwell upon the teaching. One must have had the doubts resolved. And even before that, alam shastram vicharitam. Shastram, there must be sufficiently inquiry into the subject matter of the teaching, which is called, with the help of the teacher, that is called a shravanam. Okay. So, how shravanam and mananam and resulting in vidhyasanam ultimately results in the resolution of involuntary thoughts. Here the word uses vasanas. And when the thoughts are resolved and there is quiet mind, quietened mind. And there's no greater accomplishment than having that quiet, peaceful mind. Okay, that's called mental silence. And the touch, that is actually, that implies there's a clear ascertained vision of the truth.
Vicharitamalam shastam chiramudra chiramudgrahitam mitaha santyakta vasanan maunat. Santyakta vasanan means vasanat. Santyakta vasanat. Vasanan maunat vrite nasuttamam padam.
So finally, for absolute purity is possible, absolute peace of mind, absolutely quiet mind means absolutely a peaceful mind. Absolutely peaceful mind means absolutely a silent mind, a calm mind. It means having all the impurities in terms of vasanas or emotions resolved. And that resolution is possible only when there is clear understanding of the fact of what is satyam and what is mithya. And for which one must do shravanam, mananam, ijyasam. That is what is said here. Let's go to the next verse.
Vikshipyate kadachibdhihi karmana bhogadayina. Vikshipyate kadachit dhihi karmana bhogadayina punas samahita sasyat tataiva abhyasa patavat. Vikshipyate kadachit dhihi karmana bhogadayina punas samahita sasyat tathaiva abhyasa patavat. Vikshipyate kadachit dhihi karmana bhogadayina punas samahita sasyat tathaiva abhyasa patavat.
So here, sampaditasya maunasya arabdha karmana vikshepe sati patikara maha. What he says, even after having attained clear knowledge, even after having attained clear doubt-free knowledge, and having the quiet, calm mind, having the thoughts resolved also. As a Jivan Mukta, when a person is living his life, as a Jivan Muktaha, when a person is living his life, the Kvardha Karmas will be still there. Don't forget this fact, okay? Even for a Jnani, for a Jivan Mukta, Kvardha Karmas are there. For a Jivan Mukta, there is no Sanchitam Karma, there is no Agami Karma. That he can, he is free from all karmas. But part of the karmas one has to go through. But as a wise person, he'll be objective towards his part of the karma phalam also. So he won't be afflicted, but still part of the karmas, even as a wise person, one has to go through part of the karmas, karma phalam. So as long as one is alive, it means until the karma comes to an end, even Jivan Mukta will be alive. So as long as a person is alive, as a Jivan Muktaha. So the Paradha karmas will be there even for a Jnani. Even the Paradha karmas have to be exhausted by every individual Jnani or Ajnani. Everybody has to go through Paradha karma phalam. So only when the Paradha karma phalam is exhausted, then the wise person who lives as a Jivan Mukta then attains Videha Mukti after the fall of the body. That we understood already. So here what is said is, as Parabdha Karma's Karma Phalam, Parabdha Karma Phalam is unavoidable, inevitable, as long as one is alive. Parabdha Karma is meant for, no way the Parabdha Karma has to be exhausted. Therefore, this Parabdha Karma sometimes, the Parabdha Karma Phalam which one has to go through until one's last breath, that Parabdha Karma Phalam can result in situations that sometimes even the already resolved vasanas somewhere, some resolved vasanas also can be again triggered from one's subconscious mind. Even after having attained, discovered Jivan Mukti, when a person is living his life as a Jivan Muktaha and he is objected towards everything, but he is living his life to exhaust the power of the karma phalam, and it is part of the karma phalam which he has to exhaust. The part of the karma phalam, it sometimes may result in situations where again unresolved issues, we say unresolved, unsettled, unresolved childhood issues, we say. But that unresolved, some resolved, we say, still some, it may, as a result of part of the karma phalam, even for a wise person, sometimes, it is possible for one to face situations which really triggers different emotions from one's subconscious. Therefore, in this verse, Vidyarana Swami says, it's very important for one to remember. Very, very important for everyone to remember this fact that one has to deal with one's mind throughout one's life. One has to take care of, one has to handle, one has to deal with one's own mind. How? Throughout one's life. Until his last breath, until one's last breath, one has to tackle, handle, take care of one's mind. What important lesson? Until the last breath, one has to go through, one has to take care of one's mind. It means it is possible for the emotions to be triggered. The emotions that are triggered can surface even for a Jivan Muktaha. Even the person who has clear understanding, ascertained understanding, even for such a person, because of the strength of part of the karma phalam, sometimes it is possible for the emotions to be triggered from subconscious. Therefore, what is the lesson here? What he says, Vikshipyate kadachit dhihi, not always. For all the wise people, always the vikshepa does not happen. Sometimes, kadachit means sometimes. Sometimes, kadachit vikshipyate dhihi. Vikshipyate kadachit dhihi vikshipyate. Sometimes, you know, dhihi vikshipyate. Dhihi here means the mind. Antakaram, the mind. Vikshipyate, mind becomes disturbed and distracted. Mind becomes scattered, disturbed and distracted. Not always, sometimes. Kadachit dehi vikshipyate. Why? How can, already we understood, we have done, if we do shravanam, we get the jnanam. If we do mananam, then jnanam which is attained through shravanam becomes clear and convinced, clear. And once the teaching becomes very clear, then contemplation will help us assimilate the same thing. Then one can resolve the emotions. One can become, discover one's freedom. We already understood. But here in this verse again says, kadachit, sometimes the mind gets disturbed, distracted by what? Because of prarabdha karma, karmana. Because the power of the karma which bestows the experience, which bestows the experience of all pairs of opposites, the experience of all pairs of opposites. Power of the karma alone, part of the karma phalam alone results in the experience of pairs of opposites. And as a result of which, there may rise thoughts. And even the thoughts, involuntary thoughts, unexpected thoughts may rise. And then the thoughts rise, there's no control over such thoughts. That's why the involuntary thoughts. They can rise anytime, anywhere, any place. Unexpectedly, uncontrollably, the thoughts, in given situations, the thoughts can be triggered and they surface. In a given condition, in a given state, in a given time, in given situation, subconscious can be triggered and all those emotions can rise. Because of the experience of pairs of opposites bestowed as a result of parabdha karma phalam. So once the such thoughts rise again, what happens? Then mind naturally, it's natural for the mind to become disturbed. So even for a wise person, it is possible. Therefore, then what happens when the mind becomes disturbed? That's what is said here. Yad vikshipyate kadachit dehi bhogadayana karmana vikshipyate. Because of bhogadayana karmana, because of the parabdha karma phalam, which results in experience of the pairs of opposites, sometimes the mind may get disturbed. Then what should we do then? In spite of the knowledge that it is said here, punaha samahita sasyat tadaiva abhyasa patava patavat. So whenever mind becomes disturbed, then immediately abhyasa patavat punaha again, because mind was given to shavanam and mananam and nidhyasanam, mind became calm because thoughts became resolved, as a jivan mukti enjoyed. But because of the power of the karma phalam, sometimes it is possible to be disturbed by some situations. The external situations may become instrumental to trigger one's own emotions. Therefore, again, mental disturbance is possible. Whenever such mental disturbance happens, what? Kadachit dhihi vikshipate bhogadayana karmana punaha samahita sasyat punaha. No, again. Again, already you were given to this discipline, this one meditation, contemplation, savanam and mananam, but still again, what now? Punaha, samahita sasyat, mind must be, again, mind must be resolved. Again, mind must be managed, or taken care of. Samahita syat. Dhihi is a feminine gender word. Therefore, samahita sasyat. May that mind be, such mind be managed, handled carefully. How can you handle it carefully? Abhyasa patavat. Abhyasa patavat means by one's patavaha. Patavaha means expertise, skill. So abhyasa patavat means abhyasa skill. By using one's skill or expertise in one's practice, abhyasa, one's skill or expertise in practice of what? Practice of nididhyasanam. So by again continuously contemplating upon, by making use of the discipline of the practice of contemplation, one has to manage one's mind, handle one's mind. So, therefore, repeatedly contemplating upon one's own real nature will help us manage, handle our minds. Therefore, the mind can become calm and quiet. Okay. So even for a wise person, because of the power of the karma phala one has to go through in life, that experience, the results of actions bestowed by the power of the karma, it is possible for mind sometimes to get distracted and disturbed. Then, whenever mind is a little disturbed, again, we have to pay attention to the mind. So, handle the mind carefully only by repeat contemplation. That is the abhyasa patavat sa samahita syat. That mind must be managed, handled intelligently, carefully. How? By constant practice of contemplation. Okay, next verse. Vikshepo yasya nastyasya brahma vittam namanyate. Are you following? vikshepo. See, the best way of handling one's mind is by remaining in contemplation. And to remain in contemplation, you must be relatively calmer, quiet. That's why contemplative disposition of the mind is emphasized so much. We must have the contemplative disposition of the mind, and for which we have to really live a life of dharma consciously. Once you have the contemplative disposition of the mind, then whenever the disturbance is there, again you can practice contemplation. You can calm the mind. You can handle the mind. Okay, now. Vikshepo yasya nastyasya brahma vitvam namanyate brahmaivayamiti prahu munayav paradarshinaha. Vikshepo yasya nastyasya brahma vitvam namanyate brahmaivayamiti prahu munayav paradarshinaha. So yasya vikshepaha nasti. Yasya vikshepa means yasya kasya vikshepaha nasti. Yasya vikshepo taken as vikshepaha. Vikshepaha means disturbance, distraction, attention being dragged in different directions. It's called a vikshepaha. Vikshepaha yasya nasti. Vikshepo yasya nasti. Vikshepaha yasya nasti. Yasya means, you have to say, yasya manasaha, yasya chittasya vikshepaha nasti. Asya brahmavitvam na brahmavitvam naman brahmavitvam namanyate. So here we are talking about the jivan muktaha, the jnani, the wise person. The wise person who has handled his mind, managed his mind very well, by remaining constantly in contemplation. One who has ascertained clear vision of the truth. So the person has handled his mind very well by repeatedly practicing contemplation. And now as a result of continuous practice of contemplation, he has now ascertained clear, doubt-free vision of the truth. So now he is a jivan muktaha, a jnani wise person. So for such a person, it is said here, for such a person, vikshepaha nasti. So for a person who has repeatedly managed his mind, even after shravanam, mananam, nidhyasanam, even having enjoyed the jivan mukti, it is possible for sometimes, because of the parabdha karma phalam, it is possible for one to, in given situations, to have again the emotions triggered from subconscious. Then again one must focus on that. One must focus on handling with mind by repeatedly remaining in contemplation. It was said in the previous verse. Now it is said, suppose there is a wise person who has a clear ascertained vision of the truth and he has managed his mind very well, who enjoyed a proper contemplative disposition of the mind, so who was able to be contemplative, therefore who has a clear ascertained vision of the truth, and for him the mind becomes absolutely non-disturbable mind. Therefore, what happens, whatever is the external situation, this person who has a clear ascertained vision of the truth, for him, vikshepaha nasti. Vikshepaha nasti means there's no disturbance, distraction of the mind. Wise persons, there's no distraction on the part, disturbance on the part of wise person's mind. A jnani's mind. Who's a jnani here? Who has clear, who has managed his thoughts very well, and now that who entertained contemplative disposition of the mind, who contemplate upon the self all the time, and thereby who has got ascertained clear doubt-free vision of the truth, for such a person, vikshepaha nasti, for a wise person, yasya vikshepaha nasti means, yasya chittasya manasaha vikshepaha nasti, the person whose antahkaranam, whose mind is absolutely not disturbed, whose mind does not have any disturbance or distraction, and tasya brahmavitvam na manyate, for him he is not considered to be the knower of Brahma. Such a wise person whose mind is quiet, absolutely quiet, the mind is not, whose mind does not have any distraction or disturbance anymore, such a person is not said to be the knower of Brahma. Such a wise person is not considered to be the knower of Brahma. Knowledge of Brahman is not considered. What does it mean then? Such a person is not considered to be the knower of Brahma. He is not given the status of being the knower of Brahma, but he is seen as Brahman himself. He is not seen as the knower of Brahma, but he is seen as Brahman itself. Brahma eva ayam iti prahuhu. Munayaha paradarshinaha. Such a wise person is not given this, not considered to be having the status of being the knower of Brahman. Such a person is seen as Brahman himself. He is Brahman himself. He is Bhagavan himself. And who sees this person as wise person? Brahman. Who see this wise person as Brahma? Not ordinary people. Munayaha paradarshinaha. The great seers of truth, and who has discovered, who have seen, who has had a clear vision of the moksha, the other shore of samsara. Param means other shore of samsara is para. Paradarshinaha means moksha darshinaha. Who have seen, who have the clear vision of the moksha, the other side of, other shore of the ocean of samsara. Such great people, wise people, call this wise person not as the knower of Brahma, but as Brahman himself. Is it clear? See, Brahmavitvam namanyate. The wise person is not seen as the knower of Brahma. Wise person seen as Brahman. So Brahma, no Brahmavit will say, I know Brahma. He says, I know Brahma, he is wrong. If he knows Brahma, how, what should he say? Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Like that, the other people call this wise person. See, that's why, what is the scale? How can we measure how somebody is a wise person? Vidyanand Swami is giving us a scale to measure who is a wise person. The person who is not at at all disturbed, distracted. Yasya chittasya vikshepaha nasti. There's no mental disturbance at all by any external situation. Which means this person has handled his mind very well and there's a clear ascertained vision that his mind, all his emotions are resolved because of his objectivity, and no situation can trigger disturb his mind. Yasya chittasya vikshepaha nasti tasya brahmavittvam na manyate. Now, he is not considered to be a brahmavitt. He is seen as Brahman himself. Is it clear? Finally, everything boils down to what? Are you distracted and disturbed mentally? If you're still disturbed, means to handle this disturbance, mental disturbance, don't do anything outside. Be contemplative. How can I be contemplative? Have contemplative disposition. How can I have contemplative disposition? Live a life of dharma, karma yoga. What should I contemplate upon? Better do shravanam and mananam. Do shravanam and mananam. Live a life of karma yoga. Have contemplative disposition of the mind. Do shravanam and mananam. Know what is to contemplate upon. Then be contemplative continuously. How long? As long as the emotions are resolved. Until the emotions are resolved, one must contemplate upon. And the contemplation will result in the ascertained vision, and which naturally will result in having all the emotions resolved for good. Then the mind becomes silent mind, quiet mind. Then the emotions do not rise, means yasya chittasya vikshepaha nasti tasya brahmavittvam na manyate. He is not said to be brahmavit. He is seen as Brahman himself. Brahmaiva ayam. Brahmayeva ayam. This person is Sakshat Brahman himself. Iti munayaha paradarshinaha ahuhu. Paradarshinaha munayaha. The great people who have seen the other shore of samsara in terms of moksha. And they call this person Brahman. Okay, we'll do the next verse. Darshana darshane hitva. Darshana darshane hitva. Swayam kevala rupataha. Yastishthati satu brahman. Brahmana brahma vitswayam. Darshana darshane hitva. Darshana darshane hitva swayam kevala rupataha yastishtati satu brahman brahmana brahma vitswayam. Darshana darshane hitva swayam kevala rupataha yastishtati satu brahman brahmana brahma vitswayam. So here Vidyarana Swami actually quotes this verse from வாசிஷ்டம். What he says in this verse, yaha darshana adarshane hitva, darshana adarshane hitva swayam kevala rupataha tishtati, saha swayam brahma eva நத்து பிரம்மவிது. ஹியர் த வைஸ் பர்சன் அஜ்ஞானி இஸ் அகெய்ன் க்ளோரிஃபைட் ஹியர். அ வைஸ் பர்சன் த ஜானி தர்ஷன அதர்ஷனே ஹித்வா. த வைஸ் பர்சன் does not say he has the vision of the truth, nor does he say an ajnani. Darshana adarshane hitva, darshanam means knowledge, adarshanam ignorance, hitva swayam kevala rupataha tishtati, yaha tishtati. The wise person who does not boast he is a jnani or an ajnani, such a person, how does he remain? Kevala rupataha. Kevala rupataha means having dissociated. As jiva, having dissociated cognitively with the body-mind complex, which means he does not claim himself to anymore to be a jiva, an individual. Even though relatively he is an individual, but still cognitively he has no more identity as the jiva. And this person, swayam kevala rupataha, means having given up the identity as a jiva, identity of the jiva, the person who remains as Brahma, means who abides as the very truth, So remain abiding as the very truth means what? Abiding as Brahma means always continuously entertaining this fact about himself, always seeing the fact about one's own self, abiding in the truth as Brahma, abiding the person who abides in truth as Brahma, abides as the very truth, always seeing this fact which has already clearly understood, aham Brahma asmi, repeatedly seeing the fact that aham Brahma asmi, the person who abides as the very truth, the absolute reality, implied with the term Brahma, always seeing, repeatedly seeing the fact. Seeing the fact means what? Always mentally
dwelling upon the fact Aham Brahma Asmi. Always mentally dwelling upon the fact is what? Seeing the fact that Aham Brahma Asmi. Such a person, Saha Brahman. Saha Brahma. He is Brahman himself, Brahman itself. Brahma bhavati, natu Brahmavit. See, Brahmavit, saha Brahma eva swayam. Swayam Brahma, he is Brahman him itself. He means, na Brahmavit, he is not the knower of Brahma, he is Brahman itself. Why I say itself? Because Brahman is neuter gender word. Therefore, he is Brahman itself. He is Bhagavan himself. He is not the knower of Brahma. He is a Brahman itself. He is not considered to be, not seen as the knower of Brahma, but he is seen as Brahman himself. Brahma itself. So, darshana adarshane hitva swayam kevala rupataha yaha tishtati sahatu brahma brahman brahma na brahma vit swayam brahma saha brahma swayam brahma na brahma vit saha brahma sahatu brahma swayam brahma na brahma vit swayam should go before brahma. He is Swayam himself Brahman. He is not seen as the knower of Brahma. He is as Brahman himself. So the wise person who has a very clear ascertained vision of the truth, we're going through contemplation, and this person, without having any identity as a jnani or a jnani, who remains, who abides as the very absolute reality, Brahma, and that person, when abiding as the very truth means, always repeatedly dwelling upon the fact or seeing the fact of one's own self being Brahma in terms of Aham Brahma Asmi. That person is Brahman himself. Brahman itself is not the knower of Brahma. So, Swayam Kevala Rupataha. Kevala Rupataha Yahatishtati. Kevala Rupataha Yahatishtati means the person who abides as the very truth without having dissociated cognitively from the body, mind and complex, not having any identity, abiding as the very truth, repeatedly seeing the fact of oneself being Brahman in terms of Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Brahma Asmi. Such a person is Brahman itself, is not the knower of Brahma. Okay. So, darshana adarshane hitva swayam kevala rupataha yaha tishtati sahatu Brahman. Sahatu Brahma, swayam Brahma. Sahatu Brahma, swayam Brahma, na Brahma vit. There's a small Upanishad called Muktika Upanishad. And in the Muktika Upanishad, the disciple who is listening is addressed and told. That is, Vidyanaya Swami quotes that particular mantra from there.
जीवन्मुक्ते पराकाष्ठा जीवद्वैतविवर्जनात् जीवन्मुक्ते
ते पराकाष्ठा जीवन्मुक्ते पराकाष्ठा जीवद्वैत विवर्जनात् लभ्यते सावतोत्रेदम् जीवन्मुक्ते पराकाष्ठा जीवद्वैत विवर्जनात् लभ्यते सावतोत्रेदम् ईषद्वैताद्विवेचितम् जीवन्मुक्तेः पराकाष्ठा जीवद्वैतविवर्जनात् लभ्यते सावतोत्रेदम् लभ्यते सावतोत्रेदम् ईषद्वैताद्विवेचितम्
Before going to the last concluding verse of the fourth chapter, which we really struggled to complete because a lot of obstacles, I want to tell you the previous mantra, the previous verse, darshana adarshane hitva swayam kevala rupataha yaha tishtati sahatu brahma Brahma Swayam Brahma Na Brahma Vithu. We saw the person, the wise person, does not say Aham Brahma Janami, I know Brahma, or Na Aham Janami. He does not say that. Even to say I know Brahman, even to say I do not know Brahman, one must have the pramata status. One must have the status of being the knower. And having the status of being the knower is actually still having identity with the intellect. Okay? So to be a pramata, to be a knower, one must have identity with the intellect. But here, the wise person is the one, he does not have any identity with any of the anatma, anatma aspects. Not only with the physical body, even with the intellect, the person does not have identity. There's what a clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the truth. And what happened? That's why kevala rupataha tishtati means without having any identity with the body, mind and complex. Not even with the intellect. The person cannot even say aham jnani, am ajnani. If he says, then their identity is with the, as a pramata, identity is with the intellect. So without having any identity, even with identity with the intellect, without boasting oneself to be the knower or the ignorant, the person just abides as the truth. Advitiya jnana rupena yaha tishtati. So kevala rupataha, the Tikakara writes, advitiya jnana rupena yaha tishtati saha brahmaiva. Okay. Pramatrutvam is not there. Even Pramatrutvam is not there. That's the one point I wanted to say. That's why I went back. Now, let us see the next verse. Jeevanmukteh parakashtha jeevadvaita vivarjanat labhyate savatotredam ishadvaitadvivechitam. Ishvara dvaitat jiva dvaita vivechanasya phalam pradarshayan pakaranam upasamharati jivanati.
ஜீவன் முக்தேகே பராகாஷ்டா. பராகாஷ்டா மீன்ஸ் பரா உத்கிருஷ்டாச்ச சா காஷ்டா சீமா. ஜீவன் முக்தேகே பராகாஷ்டா. ஜீவத்வைத விவர்ஜனாத், விவர்ஜனம் மீன்ஸ் அவாய்டிங். விவர்ஜனாத் விவர்ஜனாத் பை ரிசால்விங், பை அவாய்டிங், பை ரிஜெக்ட், பை ரிஜெக்டிங், பை ரிசால்விங். விவர்ஜனாத் due to the resolution of jivadvaitam. Jivadvaita vivarjanat means due to the removal or resolution of jivadvaitam, jivasrishtadvaitam. How do we resolve jivasrishtadvaitam? By clear, having the clear understanding of, a clear vision of the doubt-free, ascertained, clear vision of the truth as the self. When all the wrong notions resolve, there is resolution of jiva-srishta-dvaitam. Ultimately, jiva-srishta-dvaitam can be resolved for good only through clear vision of the truth, only through jnana. Initially, living a life of dharma, karma yoga, etc. helps to manage the jiva srishta dvaitam, the consequences of jiva srishta dvaitam. But actually, actual solution is only in jnanam. Therefore, jiva dvaita vivarjanat means due to the resolution of avoidance of jiva srishta dvaitam, the duality projected by the jiva in ignorance. What happens once the jiva sita dvaitam is resolved? My God, what is there is jivan muktihi. Jiva sita dvaitam is resolved means there is jiva, there is mukti, jivan mukti. ஜீவன் முக்தேகே பராகாஷ்டா. பராகாஷ்டா லப்யதே அசௌ, அசௌ பராகாஷ்டா லப்யதே மீன்ஸ், அசௌ மீன்ஸ் திஸ் வைஸ் பர்சன், அசௌ மீன்ஸ் ஏஷா, ஏஷா மீன்ஸ் திஸ் வைஸ் பர்சன். பராகாஷ்டா லப்யதே, this wise person accomplishes the exalted ஜீவன் முக்திஹி. ஜீவன் முக்தேஹே பராகாஷ்டா means the zenith of ஜீவன் முக்தி. Zenith of ஜீவன் முக்தி means what now? He cannot go beyond that. The highest point of Jivan Mukti is the Parakashta, the zenith of Jivan Mukti. This Parakashta means the exalted zenith of Jivan Mukti. This wise person attains due to the resolution of the projection. Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, the projection of duality. He has resolved this duality, Jiva's projection. Only projection of Jiva is absolutely resolved now. Because of resolution, what happened now? This wise person accomplishes the zenith of the highest point of Jivan Muktihi. அசௌ அத்தஹ அத்ர இதம் ஈஷத்வைதாத் விவேசிதம். ஈஷத்வைதாத் விவேசிதம் It means at the highest point or the zenith of the peak of Jivan Mukti, it is in that freedom one can invoke In the freedom in which one can invoke this Vedantic wisdom always and abide as the very truth without any wrong identity. So abiding as the very truth throughout one's life, abiding as the very naked reality without any wrong identity throughout one's life is possible when a person is capable of invoking the knowledge remaining as Jivan Muktaha. Ishadvaitat Vivechitam. Ishadvaitat விவேசிதம் இட் மீன்ஸ் விவேசிதம் மீன்ஸ் டிசர்ன்ட் விவேசிதம் டிசர்ன்ட் செப்பரேட்டட் டிசர்ன்ட் வாட் இஸ் டிசர்ன்ட் ஹியர் ஜீவசிருஷ்டத்வைதம் இஸ் understood, discerned from Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. So, Isha Dvaitat Vivechitam Jiva Dvaita Okay, this Jiva Ishvara Jiva Srishta Dvaitam is separated from Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. அத்ர இதம் ஈஷத்வைதாத் விவேசிதம் and when a wise person when he resolves this ஜீவசிருஷ்ட த்வைதம் separate from ஈஸ்வர சிருஷ்ட த்வைதம் cognitively when he resolves as a result of resolving the ஜீவசிருஷ்ட த்வைதம் this person really accomplishes the zenith of Jivan Mukti wherein he can abide as the very reality without any wrong identity and that abiding as the very reality in Jivan Mukti is possible because of his invocation of the teaching, Vedantic teaching, Vedantic wisdom. Because he is able to invoke the Vedantic wisdom always. See, being able to invoke the Vedantic teaching, Vedantic wisdom always, is important in order to abide as reality, very reality throughout one's life.
until one's last breath, throughout one's life, one can abide as the very reality, naked reality, without any wrong identity, cognitively. And that abiding as the very reality throughout one's life is possible only when a person is able to invoke the Vedic wisdom always. And that invoking the Vedic wisdom always is possible only when a person discovers this, the highest point of the Jivan Mukti. And that is because of his Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. So Jivan Muktehe Parakashta, the exalted point. Is attained because of his resolution of Jiva Srishta Dvaita, and it has been discerned, separated from Ishvara Srishta Dvaita. So here, the word Parakashta. Para means utkrishta. Kashta means sima. Sima means that is the end point. That's why I said zenith. Kashta means zenith or the peak or the pinnacle or this end point. That's the back, the border. So, the absolute Jivan Muktihi is accomplishable only because of the resolution, cognitive resolution of Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, and which is discerned from Isra Srishta Dvaitam. What the Acharya concludes here, Jiva Dvaita Vivechanena Tat Parityaga Eva Jivan Muktihi. But by discerning, separating the one's own projection of duality from Ishvara's creation of duality, and thereby having it resolved itself, is Jivan Muktihi. That is the lesson. What is Jivan Muktihi is made said very, very clearly here. What is Jivan Muktihi here? Jivan Muktihi in what two factors? Differentiating, separating the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam from Isra Srishta Dvaitam. Then thereby having Jiva Srishta Dvaitam resolved for good cognitively, so the clear vision of the truth is attainment of Jivan Muktihi. We are undoing anything here. No duality is removed here. Okay. We have completed the fourth chapter at last. I'll do summary of it next class. So that we will remember, because long time, at least let us pray very well. Before this 2019, I want to finish it. My God, so long, dragging. When we start next time, and we really pray well to be, the special Ganesha Puja will do, so that we'll be able to do the class without any obstacles. Okay? Very nice. Doesn't matter. Even if we have sort of breaks, at least the content is very clear for you, isn't it? What the main teaching? This differentiate, separate the jiva's projection of duality from Ishvara's creation, which is duality. Then have this jiva srishta dvaitam resolved cognitively through the clear vision of the truth, which itself is jivan muktihi, freedom while living. May God, finally, the whole samsara is in your own cobwebs of mind. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. See you.